This is a really interesting passage, Jeremiah 33. I can't tell you how many times in the last month I've looked at my clock in the middle of the night, and it's 3:33 or 33:3, depending on how you're looking at it. And every time I see 3:33, I think of 33:3. And just over my history with God, that's just how it's worked. After about the fourth or fifth time, I'm thinking, I might want to look at that. I might know what it said. I could have told you what it said. But I thought, well, it was supposed to say something. What do you want me to know this time? What's there? And so I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to use that passage of Scripture on the day that I make the announcement of what we're going to do. But I'm not doing that. I had every intention of those things coming together, and they haven't. I'm doing this anyway. Okay? So, but this is, if you could take a two or three verses that kind of say this is the life, this is one of them. And so you have to know how hard this is to read these first 13 verses without stopping 9 times. So there's no promises, but we're going to try to read Jeremiah 33. Starts with verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time. Now, if it came the second time, how many of you know there was a first time? Okay. I think next week I'm going to talk about what he got the first time. But it's the whole 32nd chapter. That was one of the most little prophetic treasures I've ever seen in the Bible. Yeah. But this is right along with it. So this is the second time. While he was still confined in the court of the guard. So he's in jail. He's in the joint. He's been arrested. And he's God's man, God's prophet, and yet he is in arrest, under arrest. Thus saith the Lord who made the earth. Really good, the Lord's saying, I'm not just talking about a God, I'm talking about the God. Amen. This is where these words are coming from. Now, why is Jeremiah saying that? Well, one of the reasons is he's going to tell them here in the next few chapters a whole bunch of bad stuff. And he already has some about their captivity and how they send their way into the trouble and all that kind of stuff. So it really makes a difference as to whether or not God's saying this or Jeremiah is saying this. But it's the Lord who formed it, the earth, to establish it. The Lord is his name. He says, call to me. That's prayer. Call out to God. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. You can look a lot of places in the Bible. I'm going to back off from that. I'm not going to do that today. But you can go lots and lots and lots of places in the Bible where it says, call unto me, and I'll hear you. That's not what he says here.
Right.
He says, you call unto me, I'm going to answer you. Amen. Hearing good, answering better.
Amen.
If you had to pick, you would pick being answered than just heard. Right. This really is kind of like being married. You know, your spouse says something, and you hear it. But given the right answer, usually doesn't automatically follow. Here, he says, you know I hear, but I'm telling you, I want you to call unto me now, because I've got a now answer coming. Something's going to get loosed from heaven that they can help loose on the earth by connecting in prayer. Are we good? Okay. I did stop, didn't I? Call to me and I'll answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you don't know. Hey, you who know it all, you don't know it all. I guess it's especially addressed to pastors and teachers. Because do you think you know something? Well, why else would I get up and talk about it? But he says, I'm going to show you stuff you don't know. This is so good. This is so wonderful. All of the adventures in the kingdom are the best because there's stuff we still don't know, even though we know a lot of stuff. There's always newness to be held and found in the kingdom of God because he is so beyond us in so many ways that every time you learn something new about him, you find out there's something more new that you didn't know. And it builds that expectation in you. Healthy expectation. When he says, call unto me, and I'm going to answer, now you can expect Something's coming. I've given this way. Something's going to come. I'm going to hear from him. Well, that's pretty good news. Verse 4, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are broken down to make defense against siege ramps and against the sword. In other words, they've been getting creamed. You know, sieging of a city, they lock you in and you can't get out and they can get in. And this captivity, this overwhelmedness of being under in war and under siege. He says, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you about this. He says, while they are coming to fight the Chaldeans and fill them with the corpses of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my wrath, and I have hidden my face from this city because of their wickedness. Wow. People of God, that's hard to hear for the people of God. Behold, this is just magnificent. They've sinned their way into captivity. They're in trouble, war, no peace. He said, behold, that means pay attention. It's like saying, hey, you, behold, listen to this. He's speaking, this is the God who created the whole universe, right? I will bring it, talking about the people and the city and the people of God. I will bring it to health and healing, and I'll heal them. And I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. These are the things, great and mighty things, that they don't know. And when you're getting thumped by the enemy, the last thing you think is going to come is restoration from heaven. And he's not even saying, I'm going to kick in the doors and take care of all the enemies. He's saying, I'm going to come and fix you guys. I am coming to change your situation. I will reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. They haven't had any peace and truth. They've had war and difficulty. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel. Isn't that interesting wording? Fortunes means stuff. you're going to have resources. I'm going to restore them so you're stored the way you used to be before you got busted up. I'm going to restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel, and I will rebuild them as they were at first. Wow. That's like new, renewed. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. So, boy, is the Lord backing off on sin? He said, you guys have jacked this up. But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to cleanse you. What does that mean? It means that they're filthy, that they're unholy, they are unrighteous, they're walking in darkness. Is that enough? He says, I'm going to cleanse you. What happens? You get clean. You don't feel like you're worthy. You can't see any promises coming true because you're in captivity. I mean, Jeremiah is actually in jail to the captives. You know, I mean, this is a bad time. I'm going to cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. God is telling them that they're sinful. Well, doesn't it usually work the other way? Don't we normally go to him and say, hey, we messed up? He's saying, I'm telling you, you need to get cleansed. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me, and by which they have transgressed against me, it will be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory. He's talking about Jerusalem. The whole people, the nation, people of God, covenant people. It will be to me a name of joy and praise and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear of all the good that I do for them, and they will fear me and tremble because of all the good and all the peace that I make for it. I'm going to come and rescue my folks. I'm going to come and renew and restore my people. I'm going to cleanse them, making sure that they know that the past is the past. What you did back there was wrong. I'm here to forgive it, to cleanse it. He even goes on to say in the next couple of verses, I'm going to forgive your rebellion. You know, everybody messes up once in a while, but rebellion is a little different story, isn't it? Not in his eyes. His capacity to forgive is not overdone by rebellious people. Now, there is a verse I used to do this a lot when I was doing with young people, that rebellion requires a cruel messenger. Rebellion requires a cruel messenger. Lord's superseding that here. He said, I'm going to come and fix the rebellion too. Wow. So that means the guys who know that they are off the mark and they've been messing up and don't really care too much about it, you get serious about God, and he's very serious about forgiving your rebellion. Anyway. Thus says the Lord, yet again there will be heard in this place, of which you say it's a waste. In other words, nothing here, nobody here, everything's empty. Without a man and without a beast, that is the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. Everybody's been run off or run over or captive. Things aren't good. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and of those who bring a big thank offering into the house of the Lord, I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were at first. I'm going to have it where they're dancing in the streets. People, the bride and the bridegroom celebration, well, that's the church and Jesus, if you want to bring a New Testament outlook on it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there will again in this place, there will again. So he's going to do stuff that he's done before in all the cities, the habitations of shepherds who take care of their flocks. In other words, you guys that haven't had a goat to divide amongst 10 of you, you're going to have your flocks again. You're going to be, he's talking about a restoration of their ability to have resources. In the cities of the hill country, in the lowland, in the cities of the mountains, in the land of Benjamin, in the environs of Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, the flocks will again pass under the hands of the one who numbers them, says the Lord. So there's going to be a bunch of them. And then this is talking about what the sheep have, the shepherds have the sheep pass under the rod. And there's, he gets every tenth and all that kind of stuff. That's a great passage. I better leave that alone. But passing under the rod means everything that goes under the rod goes with you. And he's not counting them, he's numbering them. Totally different. In church in America, it's all about counting. But it's supposed to be about numbering, which means there's an intrinsic value in the sheep, and that's why you do all this stuff. Another day. So, now I can stop, because I got through all 13 verses. God speaks to Jeremiah a second time. That's what Jeremiah 32 is about. It's the first time he speaks to him. So, you know, if God is who he says he is, and he is, and you're like the prophet of God, and you're all locked up, can't get out and do what you need to do, and don't you suppose he said, Lord, get me out of here? I mean, change, you know. Sorry. A little Detroitism there. But the chains are still on him. He's not free. And instead of setting him free, he comes and talks to him again. And you can know Jeremiah saying, well, the last time we did this, I'm still like this. Where's all this freedom stuff? Where are the answers? Well, he is answering him. He's speaking to him again. Yeah. Listen. This is about people that feel held captive in their situation. Yeah. Whether it's, it could be an addiction. It could be a lousy relationship. It could be a bad job. It could be the church is moving and I don't know what to do. Could be that. and the Lord is saying, listen, I want to help you in your captivity. I'm giving you seconds. I'm coming around again, saying, because don't quit on me, because I'm coming, and I'm coming with cleansing, I'm coming with forgiveness, I'm coming with dealing even with your rebellion. Some people are rebellious, and they know, but they're so in the habit they can't get out. Sometimes it's just absolute boredom. They're in a, they've dug themselves a hole, and they can't get out. And they're alive, but they're in the hole. And all they do is dig the hole deeper. And how do we get out of this? I don't know. Well, it's you need somebody bigger than you are to help you. That's what. And he said, I'm coming to do this. there's a story about Sir Walter Raleigh. He was incurring the favor of Queen Elizabeth, asking her for stuff is what it amounted to. And she says to him, Raleigh, why do you keep asking? And why do you keep this begging from me? When will you quit? And he says, oh, I'll keep doing it as long as you keep supplying the answer. As long as you give it to me, I'm going to keep coming. I thought, Christians need to be like that. But Lord, love you. Don't always understand it. But I've presented this to you again. Here's my fresh presentation. I need you to help me. I need the things you're talking about. And I thought, Sir Walter Raleigh, my dad used to smoke Sir Walter Raleigh pipes, tobacco, so I get that picture. But you know, if you're ever walking down the street, I've done this my whole life. If I'm walking down the street, especially if I'm with a female woman, lady, girl, any of those, I'm getting over between her and the curb. Because if the water splashes, it'll splash on me and not splash on her. That's Sir Walter Raleigh. He would take off his coat and put it down so the lady could step in the thing. And my mother taught me that. And my dad taught me to smoke pipes. So everything worked out good. But there was this persistence in that, saying, I know what you're really like. And what you're really like is you want to help me. You want to give me what I'm asking. And you're so good, you'll even help me tweak it so it's what you want, so I can get it and have it, and it'll be good for me. That's a good father. That's a good father. And he was telling the queen, it was really a compliment. Oh, as long as you keep giving to me, I'll keep coming. That's a really good attitude to have in prayer. So he says, Lord, here I am, and I'm hearing you this second time. What are you going to say? And what am I supposed to do about it? And you just have to get this. The Lord is not put off by the environment that your prayer comes from. Amen. Well, I know I shouldn't be in this. Maybe I shouldn't be in this relationship, or maybe I shouldn't be in this job, or maybe I shouldn't, yeah, whatever. But the Lord wouldn't talk to me because I wouldn't ask him to talk to me because I've done this or I haven't done this or I failed at that. Here's his main dude, prophet, and the guy's in jail. Now, he's in jail for preaching the truth. That's why they've got him under guard. But so it's kind of the Lord's responsibility in there, too, because he's doing what he was told to do. Well, that would make you think you ought to get out even more. I mean, Lord, you know that I've been talking your stuff, and it's your stuff that's got me in jail. How many of us are in trouble because we've been talking about God's stuff? Very few. But he was. So the Lord's not picky about the situation you're in. He's much more forceful about getting you out of the situation that you're in. And, you know, some of the time you got to recognize his desire is to get you free. The way you get free is to believe in him, trust in him, walk with him. And so he may be in this and walk you through it rather than extract you out of it. But that's still getting you to the other side. And so I've always told him, if I have my druthers, just get me out of this. But if this is a walkthrough, let's go. Because then you're not alone. You're not alone. And that's what he's saying. I don't care. It didn't stop him that the people of God had sinned their way into captivity, and he wasn't upset because, I don't know, Jeremiah, every word he spoke was from the Lord. He might have had an opportunity to inject some of his points of view, how he valued or didn't value the current political position that the captives had to be in. But still, he's locked up, and the Lord's talking to him. If you feel locked up, that's the time to talk to him, not to talk yourself out of talking to him. So, here's God who created the whole world saying, you speak, I'm going to speak. You pray, I'm going to answer. When he says that, you got to take advantage of that. I mean, in the moment, you got to take advantage of that. So he says, call unto me, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Excuse me just a minute. Well, what are those great and mighty things? Well, on the one hand, who cares?
Right.
I mean, if God says it's great and mighty, wake up, dude, it's great and mighty. However you would evaluate it.
That's right.
I'm going to show you great and mighty things. And I listed some things in your outline here, just what other translations of the Bible, besides New American Standard, how they interpret this verse. The Basic English Bible says, call unto me, I'll answer you, and show you great and many things which thou knowest not. I like that. That's been a lot of my trouble. Lord, I knowest not.
Right.
I like the way it sounds. He says, let your cry come to me, and I'll give you an answer, and you'll see great things and secret things which you of which you had no knowledge. Wow, wow. Amplified says, call unto me, I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things fenced in, hidden, which you don't know, which you do not distinguish and recognize or have knowledge or understanding of. In other words, this isn't stuff you've picked up before. I'm coming, and I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be me in the way that I'm going to show you. You're going to learn some things and be helped by it. The Message says, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. That's pretty cool. And then Revised Standard says, I'll tell you remarkable secrets you know about things to come, hidden things you have not known. This is the wonderful thing about God. I discovered this a million years ago. Well, not quite that long, but a long time ago. When God has something hidden, it's hidden for us, not hidden from us. You got to get that. Well, I don't know. Well, then we need to encounter him in a way that he can get what you don't know into you. And if you're reading the book of Colossians, this is where my discovery came in. The things are hidden in Jesus for us, not hidden from us, but hidden in him. So where are you going to look? In him. In him. Go read the book of Ephesians. In him, in him, in him, in him, in him. Well, where are these things? In him, in him, in him. But we mostly seek with this alone, and it's this.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both. Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So what things? And I have a hard time behaving myself on this. This turns me on. It's just perfect. He says, things that he's going to do, and they include healing and restoration and the revealing of purpose from God. Verse 6, behold, in the future, restore Jerusalem. So now he's coming to say, I don't care you've been in captivity and in rebellion and in sin. Here's what's going to happen. I will lay upon it health and healing. I'm going to lay health and healing on it. You're not scratching out to get it. I'm going to come and I'm going to lay it on. It's like putting an ointment or something on.
Yeah.
Boom, you're going to know it. My mom used to take that methylate stuff and put it before I wrecked my bike. And man, did I know she was laying that on me. Whoa. But it fixed it. Got all the stuff out of it so it wouldn't get infected. The Lord said, I'm going to come and lay health on you. What's health? Health is the result of wellness and healing. But so it's going to come out, health. It's going to come in, healing. Maybe a process, but this is what they're going to do for the people. And the first thing, these people are in captivity, but the first thing he says he's going to do is I'm going to make you well again. Spirit, soul, and body, I'm going to make you well. This is a healing thing. I mean, he had one thing to tell him first. He could only tell one thing first. And the first thing he said he was going to do, I'm going to lay health on you. You're going to get so healed. And it says, I'll show you in a minute, and cured.
Amen.
Cured.
Yes.
Cured. What's that mean? It isn't there anymore. We have the power to live around it, above it, through it. Cure. Wow. I think that's interesting since it's the Cure Church that we're talking about selling our building to. Isn't that interesting? That's not what he meant, but that's what I said. He says, here's the thing. I'm coming. This is stuff you don't know because you don't feel like you should get it. You don't feel like you have earned it or deserved it. You don't feel like in the situation that you're in, something wonderful should happen. If I could just get out of the bad, I don't expect the good. Just get me out of the bad. He says, no, 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 I'm coming. And when I come, I'm the guy that made the whole earth. I have the power. I created everything. And I'm going to come, and when I do it, baby, it gets done. Baby's in the brown version. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but I did. But he said, look, he could only say one thing first. He said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And the first thing is, when I come and heal and stuff, it is healed. And you're going to know it. That means pain goes away. And, you know, just, and but of all the things he could say, this is the first thing he says, I'm coming to heal my people. These are the chosen people, the covenant people, the people of God, the people that he named as his people. These just aren't, you know, people out running in the streets. He said, I'm coming. I'm going to take my people in my city, in my place. They're part of my family, and I'm going to bring them to snuff. I'm going to pour healing on them. Do you know how much you do to have something poured on you? Just don't run up on the porch. Stay out in the rain. That's it. When he pours something on you, when he fits something on you, he says, this is what I'm coming to. I'm going to lay it on you. I'm thinking, that's about what it would take. Lay it on us. And what does that bring? Healing.
Yes.
Cure. That's the first thing he says. Well, but we know he does that. Apparently, they didn't know the dimension in which, or the capacity in which, he could bring these things. Because they'd never seen it happen like this. They'd never been in the situation they were in. And I just want to say, we've never been in this situation. We've been here almost 23 years. We're not nomads. I mean, we've had a place. We've had this place. And now it looks like we're supposed to move someplace else. Well, we've never had this before. Well, he's going to do something then, huh? What's he going to do? I'm going to heal the whole lot. I'm going to bring it all together. It's going to go. It's going to grow. You're going to experience things. He's talking about my people. He says, I'm going to do this for the family of God. Why? Because they're asking me. They've asked me to come and be me. Now I'm going to show me in ways you haven't seen me before. Take you places you haven't gone before. You think I'm stretching this? I don't. Well, this is awesome. He said, I'm going to do this. And it's the healthiest things we could do. Opening ourselves to fresh expressions. He never changes, but our capacity to appreciate him does. Our capacity to give away what he gives us does. Right? I mean, I can remember first time I ever had a word of knowledge and had a prophetic word for somebody and stopped their nightmares like that. I thought, oh, I'll do this the rest of my life. And I have! But I never did that before. I didn't know how to do that before. I didn't know that was possible before. So what did he do? He just poured it on me. It just happened. Now I'd ask him, oh, Lord, you know, all sorts of things. But I didn't ask for that because I didn't know to ask for that. Am I making any sense? Yeah. There's stuff in us. Listen, part of what happens when the Lord moves, we discover impartations that we've had. We discover things that he has placed in us that are for a certain time and place. And those things pop up. Well, they were never there before. Sure, they were. They were like latent, you know? It's like the fuse was wet, he breathed, it got dry, and boom, fire started it. Does that make sense? That's what I think he's saying. Because he's saying, you call on me, I'm going to show you things you never knew. They were fenced in. They were hidden. When I was a little kid, little town I grew up in, only 1,000 people, but there was a Chevy Buick dealership. And there was a Ford dealership, and there was a Dodge Chrysler dealership. And on a certain day in October, all the new cars, same day, came out. There was not a donut shop in the little town where I was, but everybody was serving donuts and coffee. They had to go to another town to buy donuts. That's how bad it was. And they couldn't run you off, so donuts were out on a table and stuff. So we went to all the dealerships. Stuff down the chocolate frosted ones, you know, that kind of stuff. And my little brother and I got smart because we delivered papers real early in the morning. And we figured out where the Chevy Buick dealership hid the cars. They hid the cars. And this old guy had kind of a, He owned a really nice house and stuff like that. And then there was kind of a big garden and that kind of thing. And then it was almost like a junkyard that was at the end of his property. And he had the new cars under tarps out there. And we figured it out. So we went out there with flashlights and looked at all these new cars, you know. In 58, oh my God, they got double headlights out there. We never saw that before. We go tell our buddies so that when after school on that October day when all of the cards were put out on the floor, you know, where you could see them, say, oh yeah, we saw that one last night. But we had never seen anything like that before. Because that was kind of those things that didn't exist. We had seen a lot of cars, but you'd never seen a new 58 in 58. Wow. Huh? Or whatever. And or 64 in 64. I mean, it didn't matter when it was. And they did that in every October. We looked forward to it, free donuts. But something new is something we'd never seen before. And they were pretty cool. They were making some good-looking cars then. Not so they don't now, but I mean, it was an amazing time. I lived in a body shop. That's where my dad owned a body shop. I was in a body shop ever since I was 7 years old. I'd seen car after car after car after car after car. I didn't need to see any more cars. But man, I looked for those because they were something that nobody had ever seen before. Well, Lord's going to do things. Well, He's going to heal people. He's always healed people. He's going to do some things in ways we don't even know we need. Because when you're feeling okay, then it's okay. And all of a sudden, somebody turns up your nutrition and you feel better. I've never felt better like this. That's the kind of thing I think I'm thinking about. That He's going to do things in ways, and our capacity to appreciate it or respond to it is turned up. And it's like, this is what we've been looking for. And He can do this like that. Now, why would He say this to the people of God? Because they had been down. They've been fighting it hard. They've been fighting it hard for a long time and losing and couldn't get out of their difficulties. And some of it was their fault, is what I'm trying to say. And some of it, there are enemies out there that always want to take people captive, right? So they were fighting the enemy. They were like real people. We're fighting principalities, powers. They use real people, but they weren't like, they're physically threatened of the seizure of their property or their own life or that kind of thing. They were fighting it. And I just want you to know that it stuns me that if I was thinking about God, the very first thing He said I'm going to do that you don't know about is healing. That's the first thing. Do you think maybe the Lord's putting a priority on that? Man, I'm going, I love this passage. Because number one, I don't know it yet. I don't know everything that He's about to do. Neither do you. But He's saying, I'm going to come, and I'm coming to my people in such a way that they'll know this is the God that holds the whole universe together by His word of power. This is the God that created the whole earth, and this is what He's choosing to do. For some people, it's the degree of forgiveness He talks about here. People, it's hard to live free. It's difficult to live free. And one of the reasons it's difficult to live free is that we have too many measuring sticks that measure us instead of the ones that He uses to measure us. Right. I'm going to have to do this again, but God's a motive man. And if the motive of your heart is right, He'll correct your how you do it right along the way. But it's easier to get into a, how should I say this? It's easier to have a list of how to manufacture something than to actually make it. Because if you find out when you're making something, oh, how do they make changes? Because they do it one way and find out there's a better way. That's how. And so the Lord's not all that concerned with your how you do it if the motive of your heart is right. And so we have a hard time getting over our own failures, our own mistakes. And we do pretty good for a little while, and then we mess up something. Maybe it's something we haven't messed up for a long time. And then you mess it up again. Or you come so close to it that you just hate yourself. Well, then that's how we start measuring ourselves. And the Lord said, If you really trust in me, you really know me, you got to recognize that you don't have a past anymore. You don't. Because you gave it to him. The only past you have is his past. That's heresy. No, that's New Testament. Because the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. Have been. What does that mean? When he did, we did. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. And he died and we died. How can that be? It's just the truth. Just live with it. It's the truth. Well, what does that mean? Lots and lots and lots. It means I don't have to trust in me because I'm not particularly trustworthy.
That's right.
And I've told the Lord that. He said, I never counted on you being trustworthy. I wanted you to count on me being trustworthy. Okay. Really. He's trying to get his people to recognize, if I can come and cleanse you from all this stuff when you're still living in it, if I can do this, can't I get you clean? 1 John 1:9. You sin, you got to confess it. Tell him that you did it. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wow. Well, yeah, but I have unrighteousness. Yes, you're correct. And at the same time, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, which one's true? Yep. At the same time, how can that be? Well, it's a spiritual thing. Well, it doesn't make sense. No, it transcends sense. It's truth. And you got to help you live by truth and not by opinion. Because everybody's got one, like a belly button. Everybody's got an opinion. And some of them have one about you. And they probably aren't all true. So one of the things the Lord does, he's saying, I'm going to come and heal. I'm going to come and cleanse. I'm going to come and cause you to walk in the forgiveness that I have already paid for. Well, don't we already believe that? Not as well as we need to. Not in a way that it changes how our everyday life is lived. And that's what he's after. He says, I want to do this together. I want to do this. Did I say that healing was the first thing? I meant about 40 times. That's what I meant. Did I say that? But I'm going to read again, Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, in the future, the restored Jerusalem, I will lay it upon it health and healing, and I'll cure them, and I'll reveal to them the abundance of peace, prosperity, security, stability, and truth. Wow. That's a foundation for living, is it not? So the very first promise is about healing at every level. Every level. Health, healing, and a cure. Because see, I know when we found out that my wife had leukemia, they kept talking about treatments. And then all of a sudden one day, they didn't use the word treatment anymore. They used the word cure. And I noticed that right away. And of course, we had to keep going through biopsies and all that kind of stuff. But we say cure now. Now, is it possible that it could come back on? Yes, medically it's possible. But she's as cured as she can be. I mean, she, as far as the leukemia goes, that's not there. It's not there. We didn't do anything. You guys prayed. We prayed. The chemo worked. And she doesn't have it anymore. Now, that's, yes, amen. That's a wonderful thing. Now we got some other stuff kicking up. But but the issue was, the cure means it's you're as separated from it medically as you can get it separated. And it's as separated from you as you can get it. Now, so, but I just think, well, that's cool. and we're not really willing to get blood work done now. We don't have to have any of that kind of stuff. So there's a difference between having it and not being under it. She didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't want to keep it that way, of course. But that's what he says. His promises to heal his covenant people individually and corporately. That's what he says he's going to do. His healing touch produces abundance of truth and peace. Now, people of Israel and Judah had forsaken the truth that they knew, and there was war and unrest, no peace. But God promises he's going to restore his covenant people. He'll restore everything they lost during their captivity and rebuild them. Come on now, that's really good. everything you lost during the captivity, and I'm going to take you back and restore you like it was when we started this thing. New Testament, you might say, I'm going to come and give my people help in having their first love restored. Wow. Now, that's my interpretation of that. That's not what it says. But I'm going to do it like it was at first. I've had a lot of people tell me, boy, I wish when I first got saved, I did this. When I first got saved, I did this. When I first got saved, I did this. I don't want to be as stupid as I was when I first got saved. That is, it's to help other people. I mean, to prevent me from being stupid. But you know what? There's something about fresh fire. Now, so we're supposed to be putting wood on the fire every morning. You know, that's what it said. But fresh fire, where he's doing things, the wonderfulness of his characteristics get shinier and shinier and shinier. You're more aware of that. That's kind of called revival or restoration or a movement or a visitation. You call it whatever you want to call it. But that's the kind of thing he's talking about. So he said, I'm going to restore everything they lost during their captivity, and I will rebuild them. This means things lost, things stolen, or things surrendered due to their sin and the work of the enemy will be restored. It's not just stuff I did, stuff people did to me. It's just stuff the enemy has done. It's that kind of stuff. That is to be restored. That's really strong. That's what he's talking about. He says, I'm going to come and do things. You don't know these things. You haven't seen these things yet. I'm not telling you that we haven't seen all these things yet. I'm telling you that the people of God in that day, coming, listening to Jeremiah's words, said, oh my God, he's going to do some stuff that we haven't ever seen. Well, if you take the Jewish history, man, they've got, you know, parted rivers, split seas, I mean, bread from heaven, people being resurrected. I mean, come on. You're going to do stuff they haven't seen? That's pretty big. So we need to have our eyes open. And the eyes of our heart open to recognize he's going to do things. Now, he's God. He's going to do godly things. But he can do them. How many of you know that Jesus never healed the same way twice? Right. Yep. Always different. So have we seen it all? I think not. But that's the promise. These are the promises that he said. Verse 7 and 8. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to be reversed. So what he's going to do is reverse the reversal they've gone through. They got captive, taken away, you know, their land, their cities, all that kind of stuff. And he says, oh, I'm going to reverse that. What reversed them? I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to undo it. This phrase, I don't remember how I got it, but I wrote it down, so I'm going to read it. He will cleanse the internal stain of their sin and rebellion and forgive their guilt and shame. Clean the internal stain, that thing that you don't feel like it ever gets clean because you did that or somebody did that to you. And he says, I'm coming for that. I'm after this thing that keeps tripping people. I'm after this thing that causes them consistently to return to the scene of the crime, so to speak. So there's an internal stain. We were praying the blood of Jesus yesterday in the prayer meeting, and I'm going, I got to say this because I'm going to say it tomorrow, but it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses that. That's what cleanses that. That's the power to cleanse that. And he's telling these people, I'm coming to do it. Now, you have to understand, these people did not have the Holy Spirit in them. So it was much easier for them to carry an internal stain, because everything, you know, they had to go get the sheep slaughtered and, you know, all that stuff. Man, I'm telling you, you get clean in here. It'll get you clean in here. And it will alter the way that you think. So, as the old preacher said, you come to the altar and you'll walk away altered. There's some reality to that. And that's what he's saying. I want to take this thing that keeps you held back and no longer be held back. I want to build you to the point that you're rebuilt, and it's not in there. It's not part of it. It's not part of it. Take Peter, for example. I'm going to talk about him in a few weeks. You think he didn't have a hard time getting over being Peter?
Right.
Golly, he woke up every day and he was still Peter. You know, can you imagine his alarm clock?
Yeah.
What would that remind you of if you're him? Man, I bet he hated chicken. Too bad, because it's kosher, you know, and you can. But hey, how do you get over that? It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb. Because he knew, I think he came to know, that he couldn't count that against him anymore because God didn't count it against him.
Right.
Now, there was a little period of time there where it was difficult. But do you understand what I'm saying? Some of us have that, but I denied him. Or I denied myself, or I lied. I did something I shouldn't have done, and I just can't get rid of it. You know, yeah. Can't get it out of my head, and my whole world's gone for dead. No. All things are new. All things are new. Now it may take a few scrubbings, a few applications, but blood of Jesus does cleanse, and that internal stain is not an eternal stain, because the eternal blood of Jesus forever lives to testify about our forgiveness on the real altar in the real heaven. Well, that's ethereal. No, man, that's truth. That's truth. And he is everlasting. So if he makes a choice of forgiving, it's everlasting. Well, why would he do that for me? I did this and this. Well, he did this, and that did that for you. That's what, before you ever did it, he paid for it. That's really true. So, he said, I'm going to come. I'm going to bring peace, stability, security, all these things in ways that you've never seen. Well, what started all this? Cry to me. Call out to me. Pray to me. That's what he's saying. Well, why wouldn't he do that if I had already prayed? Well, this is a prayer geared to an answer. He said, call unto me and I will answer. So that's what you do. Well, Lord, here I am. Kind of prayed about this one before. But you said, Jeremiah 33, if I prayed, you're answering. Okay, this is not a party line. Straight up, he's answering. Well, what are you going? How am I going to know? Put your ears on, put your glasses on, pay attention. He's going to come and do things. That's what he says. Now, here's Jeremiah. He's the one speaking, and they've got to be asking him some questions, and they're saying, "Well, if he's answering so good, what are you doing in jail?" Huh? I remember the first time my wife's in Omaha and said she would never get out and was going to die and all that kind of stuff. And I was gone. We were gone. I was gone for weeks. I only preached 5 times in 6 months. And first time I came back, I was an idiot. I thought I'd be okay. But I stood, said, hey guys, here's the thing. Talking about Abraham and how he was going to let somebody mess with his wife because he didn't want to get beat up by the guys. And that caused a plague to come on those people. None of them could have children. And so the king comes to him and said, what are you doing? This isn't your sister, it's your wife. And now we can't have any kids. So here's a guy who can't have any kids, laying hands on the people of that country, and they all got healed, and they all could have children. He didn't. And I said, listen, if he can do that, I'm standing here with the wife in the hospital that's trying not to die. But that doesn't change anything about what God can do. And I laid hands on a boatload of people that day and cried like a baby. I thought I really had it up. I did not. It's not dependent upon my capacity or yours. If he says he's coming and doing that, then we can call unto him. Here I was, a guy sitting there in the hospital room 13 and a half hours every day praying that she'd get healed, and she wasn't walked out. She did walk out, by the way. So months later, like 20, but it still happened. And people got helped. So it's not dependent upon our condition. And when he says, I'm going to come and do something you don't know, guess what? That's a wonderful promise, because I know what I already know. And I've seen what I've already seen. But I'm looking for more. He wants us to be looking for more. This is a prayer you have to pray with expectation, because you're saying, Lord, you say right here in Jeremiah 33, I call, you answer. I'm dialing that number up, the one that get answers. So let's go. Help me. Help me see. Help me understand. And it's not just, I'm going to rebuild them. I'm going to take them back to where they were. I'm going to get them to that point where it's fresh and new and on fire. Fresh and new. And I don't know. I'll have more to tell you next week, I hope. But I'm telling you, this isn't an end. This is a beginning.
Yes, sir.
It really is. Well, yeah, you've been saying that for a long time. Going to keep saying it. Because it's the truth. But our experience can be as fresh and new as he wants to make it. These people had seen. I mean, he's telling the people of God stuff, stuff you've never seen. Man, he's already played a pretty good bag of tricks. I mean, come on. There have just been all sorts of things that have happened in their history that they would know as dealings with God. And he said, I'm not done yet. I got a lot more than that. I got stuff you don't know. Had it hidden. They were back in the back under the tarps. You haven't seen it yet. I'm going to pull the tarp off. You're going to see the new one before anybody else gets to see it. Yeah, I just think that's an amazing situation. He promises to restore and renew his covenant family. Others will know about him as he brings new levels of peace, prosperity, security, and stability to his people. That's what he's saying. I'm going to do stuff with my folks, my family, that's going to make other people say, what in the world is going on with these guys? He says, nations are going to see what happens with Israel and either not going to like it, but they're really going to see it, or they're going to want to be part of it. That's what the church is supposed to be like. We're supposed to be carrying the life of God in such a fashion that other people maybe don't understand it, maybe don't even like it, but they can't deny it. Right. Something's going on with you guys. What is it? What is it? Well, there's an opportunity. Boom. Say something about it. It says, and I've already read the 13 verses, so I'm just going to, it says there's going to be songs of gratitude. Some stuff's going to happen. There's going to be new songs. Songs that said, but he did this. He did this. He did this. Things that we haven't seen him do in the way or in the timing before. And he said, I'm going to do it, but it's going to be a cause for joy and for new songs. Ah, that sounds pretty good to me. So who is he going to answer? People who call. So I think we ought to call. So I'm going to invite you. This is an assignment. To take Jeremiah 33:3 and say, Lord, you said. This is, you can tell him I said it if you want to, but I'm saying what he said. Lord, you said if we would call on you, you would answer. Yes. And there are ways of you doing things in response to our call to you that we haven't totally seen yet or experienced yet. Well, what if we already have and we like it? He'll do that too. But this idea is, I've been walking with the Lord now a long time, I mean like a long time. And even prenatal, I think. I was just, it's been a long time. And see, it's 52 years, 53 years, something like that. I was 6 months when I got saved. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't seen a lot of stuff that I've seen. I've seen him in ways, knowing him, that he can do way beyond what we're able to ask or think. Way beyond. And I'm fairly imaginative, but way beyond. let's ask him to do things in a way that really does spark us. Really does, oh my goodness. Yeah, that's what you're like. I knew you could do this. I never knew you did this. Or I never knew you could do this for me. Because some of it is, we seem, well, yeah, this guy has this and that person has this. Yeah. Well, I that would never happen to me. Take that never out of your vocabulary.
Right.
We want to give him opportunity to answer. Why don't we stand together so we can kind of do this together. Now, I'm going to encourage you during the week. Lord, you said, because when he says it, you've got rock solid something to stand on. Because it's not just like, well, I had this deep feeling. Beyond your deepest feeling, the Word of God is already forever settled in heaven. That's the safest, strongest platform to stand on. So, Lord, here we stand together, family of God, together. And we just want to cry out to you, Lord. Call out. We call on your name, Lord. And you're the great physician, and you're the good shepherd, and you're the God who is love and who is hope. You're the deliverer and you're the rescuer. We could go on and on and on, but you're the one who created the whole earth and everything that's in it, and we're calling on you. Not any kind of thing, not throwing darts at a board, not guessing. We come to you, the God of heaven and earth, King of kings, Lord of lords, and we say, your word says that if we'll call out to you, that you will answer our call and show us great and mighty things, things that have been hidden, things that we haven't yet discovered, but are hidden for us, not from us. And they're hidden for us in your Son. We ask, Lord, now for you to come and do those great and mighty things that we don't know about. And Lord, we put in your hands what the Bible says you said when you came. The very first thing you did involved healing and wellness and bringing cures to people and to nations, not just people, but through the people of God, to nations. We put that in your hands, Lord. You said you're going to do things we don't know. We're not telling you what to do. We're saying we see in the Bible that when you did this for your first covenant people, it was health and healing that came first. And then there was peace, and there was security, and there was even growth and prosperity, and the restoration of things, relationships, jobs, the families, locations, gifting, callings, all those things. We put those in your hands, Lord. We just want to comply with you. We want to see amazing things happen, and we'll just blame them all on you. Just say, you did it. He did it. We did our part. We cried out. You say, draw near to you, and you'll draw near to us. Here we come drawing near to you today, Lord. Come and do things that will absolutely flabbergast us. Not just because we're looking for some kind of, crazy, wonderful thing to happen. It's because you're beautiful, you're powerful, you're full of love, you're full of compassion. You want to do things. You have things ready for us. Lord, we say, let the angels be busy in ministering to those of us who are the heirs of salvation, coming and doing for us what they did for Jesus after the 40 days in the wilderness. We employ angels who are mighty in strength to perform your word, who obey the voice of your word. We're giving voice to your word now. You said pray, and you would answer. Release your messengers, Lord. Have your way with us. Have your way with us. Lord, as we prepare to leave a place that's been wonderful for us and go to a place that you are making wonderful for us, we say, Lord, here, show us things that we have not seen. Things that are in your heart, those things that you have stored up in heaven. We want to loose everything in the heavenlies that you have already prepared for us. You're waiting for our cooperation. We give it to you now. We bind those things that have kept them from happening, when we loose those things, that they may be ours, because they're yours, but they have our name on it. And Lord, we want to say, we honestly believe there's stuff with our name on it. We honestly, genuinely believe. We pray with an expectation in our heart that you don't let your word come void. You say, call unto me. I will answer. That's really personal. I will answer individually and corporately, Lord. We put that in your hands. Now let's do this today. Can you put your hand on your heart, or just any place, just put your hand on you. Lord, the first thing that happened when we looked in Jeremiah 33 is that you came and it said, and you laid health upon them. So we're just trusting for your hand to be on us now. This is how we're praying this morning. Lord, would you initiate wellness for people? Would you cause health to be laid upon us and cures to come to us? Because we're sending your word to you, and we're asking, Lord, for your word to ring true. Would you watch over your word and perform it? And your word says you sent your word and healed them. So we ask for spirit, soul, and body to be touched. Diagnoses to be erased. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. I got this little feeling, this is maybe silly, but when I was a kid, I put a transistor radio under my pillow, listened to ball games. And my mom took my eared things away, so I just listed under the pillow. Lord, I'm asking for you to whisper to us, like that little radio communicated me when I was laying in bed, that there'd be a direct communication. Yes. Some of us who are absolutely in need of something like that to lift them, Lord, I ask for that they would say, I've heard from the Lord. I have heard from the Lord. I wasn't even looking, I was just trying to go to sleep, but I've heard from the Lord. Cause us to connect with you in the way that you've spoken out of Jeremiah's prophesying. We want to know. We want to hear. We want to respond. We want you to renew and restore and make like new hearts of fire. And Lord, we do pray that you would watch over your word and perform it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, we'll see you on Wednesday night. And we're going to have good news for you next week. So y'all come. See you then.